Our reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, although Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed two longers in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the religious authorities were just trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who work at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was merely referring to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her, were in the house with her, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man not have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." God's word is life.
The Gospel of John is distinctive for its great long stories. Where the other Gospels have a way of capturing a scene in just a few words, it's as though the writer of John's Gospel takes that moment and opens it up wide. There are these convoluted conversations where, as the reader listening in, it's kind of humorous how words get misconstrued, how Jesus picks up on misunderstandings in a way that doesn't resolve them but moves them into a journey of discovery. So that along the way, we've got a man named Nicodemus asking, how can a grown person crawl back inside his mother's womb and be born again? And we've got the woman at the well imagining she might never have to fetch another drop of water in her whole life. And by the end of that story in which the blind man receives his sight, the people with sight are left wondering if they might be blind. We might wonder why the Jesus we encounter in John's Gospel is so confusing, why he can't just tell it straight, say it plain. Well, maybe he's not so bent on telling us something as he is on taking us somewhere. It's in John's Gospel early on that we hear Jesus say to a couple of guys who are trailing him, "Come and see." What Jesus seems to be about in John's Gospel, right from the get-go, is taking us somewhere, showing us something. He's constantly opening up to us a fresh discovery of what is real. The story we have this morning from John's Gospel does all of this and more. So it begins with a daunting word: Lazarus is ill. This is Lazarus, brother of Mary and Martha, the family we hear more about than any other in Jesus' travels. Do you know how they first met? But you get the sense that there is a special bond between them and Jesus, a deep care and affection. One of the sisters gets the message to Jesus, "Your beloved Lazarus is ill." It's serious. There's no "please come." That's a given, given their friendship. Except that Jesus stalls, deliberately. For there's something more to be revealed, discovered. And for all it seems kind of twisted, what's he doing messing with these lives is what it feels like. It's not really our job to either justify or judge his response. If anything, perhaps it allows us to tune into that experience of crying out in need, "God, help me," only to be met by silence, absence, nothing whatsoever. And what it's like to endure those times, how we hang in, and what we do while we wait. By the time Jesus arrives, Lazarus has been dead 4 days. With this belief that the spirit lingers in the tomb for even 2 days after death, you're not officially dead until the third day. In the meantime, the third day is the day that God acts. Like when the wine ran out at the wedding in Cana. Like early that morning on the third day when they went to the tomb. But this is the fourth day. The day beyond all hope, beyond reach. Both Mary and Martha greet Jesus on his arrival. Beneath their "if you had only been here," you can almost hear it, can't you? "Where were you? You're too late." And then Martha, perhaps feeling she was a little harsh or hurtful, backs off a bit, and as if in a way to convey her gratitude for his coming, she finds herself saying, "But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Your brother Jesus will rise again. Your brother Lazarus will rise again," Jesus says. "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day," she affirms, moving into religious talk. But Jesus isn't there to talk religion. He's come to engage her and what's happening in her life, in their lives, right then and there. Her religion lifts her mind from now to some future time they call the last day. But Jesus says to her, "Martha, I am. I am the resurrection and the life." Martha hears it as more religious talk. How else is she to hear it? She's working from what she understands and trusts to be true. Well, it's not finally Jesus' way to talk her into something more. And so here begins another journey of come and see. "Where have you laid him?" Jesus asks the weeping Mary and the mourners gathered with her. Notice the journey begins with his willingness to go with them to the hardest place, the place that holds the most pain, the most grief. The journey begins as this time they say to him, "Come and see." He follows them to the tomb, a cave with a stone lying against it. And on arriving, he says to them, "Take away the stone." But Martha knows better. "Lord, the stench. What is he thinking? 4 days later, why make it worse than it is?" Well, Martha knows better. Jesus knows more. Jesus foresees the wonder of God at work. They move the stone and Jesus calls Lazarus by name, calls Lazarus out of the tomb, out of the place of death. Jesus calls Lazarus into life. Do you know what it's like to be called into life? To be pulled out of a dark hole, a dead end, a prison of your own or someone else's making? Do you know what it is to be raised from death to life? To find yourself standing up again? That's what resurrection means. To stand up. When sickness or shame has laid you low, or despair or guilt or loss left you withdrawn, gone, as good as dead. Do you know what it is to be called into life? Well, a few weeks ago at our weird church book study, I heard Emily say something that sounded to me like there's such a story in her life. And having asked her if she would be prepared to tell us something of that story this morning, Emily agreed. And so, Emily, here we are on holy ground with you. Thank you.